know you came here to stay. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's going down for real. That's what happened every time Kyrie Irving shot the ball last night.
It went down.
It went down for real at Browns Daily Bro Night at the Cavs as we saw the double nickel from Kyrie, a career high, setting franchise records for three-point attempts with 19 three-pointers made with 11 as the Cavs, without LeBron James, won their eighth in a row. 55 for Kyrie, the
most
game
points
winner
ever at the Gun/Quicken Loans Arena.
I did not know that.
Beat Allen Iverson's 52, and I believe, is it a Cav franchise record as well? Because I know LeBron went for 51, or I think it's second behind somebody.
It was the highest in the league this season,
yep,
over the 52 by Klay Thompson and Mo Williams, former Cavalier as well. Unbelievable. He scored Cleveland's last 11 points in the first quarter, the final 8 in the second and third, and 10 of the Cavs' last 12 in the fourth. So he was dominant.
And I believe 24 of the last 28 team points as well in that game.
Yes. It's unbelievable. 55 points were, by the way, the third most in NBA history on a team that scored less than 100 points overall.
Yeah, it was impressive. And I'll say this, to give the Portland Trail Blazers, who are the number 3 seed in the West, the much stronger West, you know who's an absolute boss is LaMarcus Aldridge.
He was an absolute boss.
He was dominating Love, Mozgov. Mozgov held his own towards the end, but he got shook a couple times. He was knocking down, 22-footers, 19-footers. Went to the line. I think he was perfect from the line. You couldn't catch a break. So he was a big part of the runs. But what I love, and again, as we talked about the Cavs last week with the acquisitions of J.R. Smith and Mozgov and what they bring, and I talked about the smiles, on the face of J.R. Smith and Kevin Love, doing the jump, back, smack, whatever you want to call it, after they, I think J.R. Smith made a big bucket. But you got to love the same way that Mike Miller and Della Dover first off the bench to give LeBron love or Kyrie love in that game. LeBron was loving Kyrie. He loved on him, in the media, saying he's growing up, he's becoming a great leader, and it's good to know. And I think this is part of the maturation of this basketball team and with Coach David Blatt, that now we can play a quality basketball team. Maybe I'd love to do it at home, maybe not on the road, but where you can rest LeBron strategically on a back-to-back, and you have a guy that can do that and still win a basketball game.
And it was Kyrie's night, as we talked about LeBron James tweeting, just watch one of, if not the one greatest performances by a person, and he happens to be my teammate, running mate, brother, Kyrie Irving.
That's awesome.
What a win, and boy, was he way in the bag and beyond tonight. All-star ticket punch, hashtag that boy good. Some more facts about Kyrie's double nickel right here. 55, Cavs failed to break 100. We talked about that's the third most. The only people who ever have done that before, George Mikan, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James for the Cavs. First former Duke player with 54 with 50 points in an NBA game. The previous high was Grant Hill, 46, with the Pistons in 1999. Career high, 55 points. It was the 10th 50-point game in Cavaliers franchise history. The franchise record is, of course, 56. And it was the most points at home for the Cavs, as you pointed out there. The Cavs have only seen 50 points scored on their home court one other time. That was in 1971 when Walt Wesley dropped 50 on the Cincinnati Royals February 19th. At the end of this one, all 8 of LeBron James's 50-point games in his career have come on the road.
That's nice.
With the Cavs, as a member of the Cavaliers.
That's great. And like I said, it got to the point last night where it was silly.
It was silly.
The Trailblazers knew it was coming. 20,000-plus people knew it was coming, and with a hand in his face,
and you couldn't stop him.
He was dropping it right in their face. He shot the laser beams, and then when he had to, he went up over top, dropping them in, making them rain in, too.
I mean, 11 threes on the night for Kyrie. And we had a great time. You and I went with the kid.
Yes.
Doug Bloom, your wife,
yes.
Your father-in-law. Fine man, by the way.
Thank you.
And we all had a good time. Then we spent some time up in the Cavs. The Cavs had a suite. I mean, the Browns had a suite at the Cavs game.
Yes.
So we spent some time up in there, had a few adult beverages and whatnot. But remember, do you remember when we walked in? We walked in a little bit late. We were at our favorite spot, Wilbert's.
Yes.
And we had a little food. There was a little snafu there.
Yes, there
but
was.
But it's okay. But we got in there. When we walked into the arena, Kyrie Irving was 0-for-7 from the floor.
Yes, he was.
And had 4 assists.
Yep.
He finished from that point on, 17 of his next 29 shots went in, and he tallied 1 more assist. and people were like, he's not going to pass. He shouldn't have passed the ball.
You're right. And again, when a friend of yours at Wilbert said that, you know, it was confirmed that LeBron was not going to play because of the wrist injury / rest of the back-to-back, I said, and I don't know if it was necessarily Kyrie, but I said, someone's going to go for 50. Either that
you called it. You called it. Ladies and gentlemen, he called it. He said, somebody's got to go for 50 if they're going to win this game. He called it at Wilbert's.
It was. And the reason why I say that is because I just know the quality team that Portland is, having watched them, you know, late night on TNT. And you look at, you know, their stats and their players. And the other great thing that I think, as I remember the season starting and the excitement surrounding LeBron and some of the the stumbles out of the blocks with this basketball team, Damian Lillard took it to Kyrie early, I think, which was in Portland on that first West Coast swing.
Yeah, but then he shut him down.
But then he shut him down, and what was great was as the kid and I were, you know, sitting, you know, front row in the suite watching the end of the game before he unfortunately left, which we'll get to tomorrow. And again,
all-time worst performer.
It was.
I mean, the kid is going to get an F.
You're right. But that all being said, is what's great about this roster, as much as we don't like Dellavedova maybe on the offensive end as lost and unproductive as he is, what was great is that
needs to take him out.
You're right. We got some quality minutes late where he actually played Lillard. And so that Kyrie could meander around with Steve Blake, who essentially can't score anymore, and allowed Kyrie to go 95% all in on the offensive end and just chase around a non-scorer on the defensive end. So you've got to give some props. He was still stumbling over the ball and bad turnovers and, you know, the one rebound that we thought he should have had that would have secured the game much sooner. But it allowed Kyrie to be the scorer, to be the guy, and not have to stress himself at both ends of the floor.
He was everything. And I'm going to ask this question because, you know, obviously we have recency bias. But was that the greatest individual effort you've seen in Cavs history?
Yes. And, oh, for sure.
For sure.
In person, hands down.
For sure. Okay. In person, yes.
In person,
for sure,
hands
for me
down
as well. But I'm saying, in general, was that the best? And that's something I want you guys, that could be an Ohio Business Machine hot topic today. Why not? I know it's Browns Daily, but I'll tell you what, it was Browns Daily night at the Cavs game, so we're going to talk about that all night long, especially when you have Kyrie Irving make 11 trifectas and drop 55 on him, hold Damian Lillard to 4 of 19 from the floor. Are you serious? Are you for real? Kyrie Irving was out of control.
He was out of control, and the greatest thing about Kyrie and what I love about, again, the maturation of Kyrie is not only did he hit 11 trifectas, but he could get to the rim whenever he wanted to. And he took some pounding. There were some no calls, but the great thing about it, he stood up. I believe he went 10 for 10 from the line as well. So you're going to figure 33 from behind the arc and 10 at the free throw line. So 43 of his 55, you know, came from what, 22 and beyond, and from,
yes,
and from the stripe, which meant he was still aggressive when he had to be. And the one thing that I think we all looked for, but again, it was Kyrie's night, was the disappearance of Kevin Love at significant stretches in that basketball game. You know, he might have been 3 of 4 early from three-point land. You know, 9 of his points came in the first 5 minutes of the game, and he might have finished with, what, 15?
He did not. Kevin Love, he still throws out a double-double on you, 10 points, 12 boards, but 3 of 15 from the floor, and he's been struggling from the floor the last few games. This isn't a new thing here. He's had 10 points, 7 points the night before in Detroit. He was struggling from the floor in that one as well. Kevin Love, yeah, definitely struggling a little bit from the floor, but I'll tell you what, when you've got Kyrie doing what Kyrie does, and you've got Mozgov in the middle going for 12 and 10 himself, guy's a fantastic player.
You're right about that, and what's again, we're trending upward on what now? Eight in a row. You know, we've got the All-Star break coming in a couple weeks. But what's great is I think this is a great thing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. As we talk, we don't suspect they're going to lose a lot of games in the second half of the season, playing, what, 30 games to get to the playoffs and so on and so forth. They're not going to lose a lot of games, but what's great is that David Blatt, as a first-year NBA coach, is learning a lot about managing his stars, and more so, managing his one star that matters, which is LeBron James, knowing that we can play a quality opponent and still rest him in a back-to-back, knowing that you have the star power on that roster. And I think you have some hard workers, because the one thing I love about Mozgov and even Love is the effort that they play with. Yet, maybe Love can't defend, but he plays with effort when it comes to slamming those boards. And I love Mozgov, his ability to play LaMarcus Aldridge and allow Love to come off of him so that he could potentially make those shots at the other end, which we didn't need because Kyrie was just flat out on fire.
He was on fire. It was like NBA jams. And coming off of that amazing Klay Thompson performance, it was another unbelievable performance there from Kyrie Irving. And it's been the month of January. Seen 350-point games in the NBA. Mo Williams, Klay Thompson.
Everybody's warming
now Kyrie.
Up.
Yeah, it seems to me that we've got to find a way to go. You know, we've got to find a way to go to more Cavs games. Bro night
at
the Q was huge.
I'm open.
All right, when we come back, hot topics. Obviously, we've got a lot to get into, and certainly something just popped up right now. Here we go. So listen, when we come back, this is what we're going to get into. We'll obviously take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll continue to talk Cavs. Was that the best Cavs individual performance you've ever seen? Think about some of the LeBron ones. I think it's going to be interesting. That's an interesting debate as Kyrie dropped 55 last night. We'll continue to talk about our guys' night out. We will also go ahead and get into the mailbag. Tweet your questions at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm57, using the hashtag mailbag. We'll also get into the ESPN article that you referenced yesterday, Matt, about how many players away from the Super Bowl the Browns truly are and what they need to do, and we'll get into that when we come back. But also, this just posted on Twitter. To my judge and jury, here's my testimony. My debut for At the Cauldron. It's an article from Josh Gordon, an open letter to Charles Barkley and company. See what he has to say. Josh Gordon, I'll be reading what Josh Gordon had to say right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
A new year is upon us, and the savings have never been better at Liberty Ford. Right now, save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the 4-door Focus SE or the 5-door hatchback. That's 6,000 reasons to choose from Ohio's largest Ford selection at the all-new LibertyFord.com. And rest assured, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Hi, I'm Nathan Zagura from Cleveland Browns Daily. Speedway is proud to be the official convenience store of the Cleveland Browns. Speedway has everything you need, whether you're tailgating at the stadium or enjoying the game at home. From snacks to soft drinks, delicious food choices like our delicious new mozzarella and pepperoni speedy stuffers, Speedway has you covered. And only Speedway has the Speedy Rewards card. Cheer on the Browns and count on Speedway all season long.
We're on your way to the convenience stores of Speedway.
One Direction continues their global domination. August 27th at First Energy Stadium. One Direction. On the Road Again Tour 2015. Tickets are on sale Saturday at noon. Buy tickets at LiveNation.com or call 800-745-3000. Don't miss One Direction. On the Road Again Tour 2015.
What's more exciting than Browns football?
It's my favorite time to enjoy high adrenaline action.
Protecting our quarterback is a lot like protecting our clients' rights. That's the key to success.
Just like in law, it's important to be prepared and smart on game day.
There are no better football fans in the world than right here in Cleveland.
Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns.
Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO.
Go Browns!
Born hunter. A hunter that feasts from land and sea. You have earned the right to mix and match two of your three favorite Arby's sandwiches for $5. Classic roast beef, classic beef and cheddar, classic fish fillet, two for just $5. Join the sandwich hunt. It's a very easy hunt. Arby's, we have the meat.
A new year is upon us, and the savings have never been better at Liberty Ford. Right now, save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the four-door Focus SE or the five-door hatchback. That's 6,000 reasons to choose from Ohio's largest Ford selection at the all-new LibertyFord.com. And rest assured, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
She's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Listen, unbelievable performance by Kyrie Irving last night, but we do have some breaking news, which is certainly interesting. I don't know if it's news per se, but Josh Gordon has written an open letter to Charles Barkley and company at a website called The Cauldron, medium.com, The Cauldron. He tweeted it out, I retweeted it, and we are going to read some excerpts from that for you right now as Josh Gordon fires back. Dear Sir Charles, Stephen A., Chris, and other interested parties, thank you for your recent outpouring of concern about my well-being. In what has been a difficult time for my family, friends, and fans, you and those like you have taken it upon yourselves to express just how much you care about me and my future. For that, I am truly appreciative. The thing is, though, you don't even know me. Chuck, you have never so much shook my hand, let alone exchanged a single word with me. Few of you have, to be honest. Respectfully, your worry over my problems with substance abuse and my twisting descent into darkness and apparently my impending death is misplaced, mostly because you have very little idea what you are talking about. None of you do. Even those of you who seem curiously obsessed with the goings-on in my life.
It says, you're done with me, Stephen A. That presumes we actually got started. How exactly can you be done with someone you have never had a meaningful conversation with beyond a quick first take spot? Regardless, I am relieved that you no longer need to harbor sympathy for me, mostly because I never asked for it, never wanted it, and certainly never needed it. I am not a victim here. I never claimed to be one either.
Gordon continues, and Chris, your level of interest in my life is even more puzzling, especially considering we have never met either. In addition to being concerned about me, like when you publicly called for the Browns to cut me so I could learn the same lessons you learned, you also stated as fact that, quote, we are dealing with addiction here. Know this, we are not dealing with anything, Chris. We are not the same, not at all. So in the interest of lifting the heavy burden of my welfare, of your collective consciousness, I'd like to set the record straight about a few things.
First, words cannot express the remorse and regret I feel over the latest incident. I acknowledge that I repeated transgressions that have led up to this point have damaged my credibility, and for that, the only person to blame is me. I have let down many in the Cleveland Browns, or my Browns teammates, our hardworking coaching staff, the team ownership, and the loyal fan base that wants nothing more than to win. Playing here is different than many other cities. We feel the fans' pain. We know how important it is to them.
Also, I have disappointed the family and close friends who have always stood by me, no matter how tough things have been at certain points in my life. Believe me, there have been more dark days than I care to remember. More importantly, I have failed myself again. I failed myself when I started using marijuana regularly as a young teenager. I failed myself when I ruined a once-in-a-lifetime chance to be Robert Griffin III's running mate during his Heisman Trophy-winning season at Baylor. I failed myself when I didn't check with the league office to ensure that my doctor-prescribed codeine-based medicine was allowed under NFL guidelines. I failed myself when I was arrested for driving a motor vehicle with a blood alcohol level over the legal limit. I failed myself when I missed a team walkthrough late in the season and was suspended for the final game of the year. But you know what, Charles, Stephen A., and Chris, and everyone else? I have also succeeded.
I have succeeded by escaping a youth riddled with poverty, gang violence, and very little in the way of guidance or support. I've succeeded by narrowly avoiding the life of crime that managed to sink its clutches into almost all of my childhood friends. I've succeeded by working tremendously hard on my craft and my body to even have a chance to play professional football for a living. And contrary to popular belief, I've succeeded by overcoming my longstanding relationship with weed because I knew I was risking my future over it. The truth is, I have not smoked marijuana before I was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 2012, and there are years worth of drug tests to prove it.
So then how did I get here, you ask? That's easy. I messed up. But to even begin to understand why I messed up, you need to know the Josh Gordon that existed before the NFL. I don't speak of it often and even less so publicly, but I faced a fair amount of hardship growing up. My father was pretty much out of the picture, with left my mom to fend for herself with her three sons at home. She did the best she could, but there were large stretches of time as an adolescent when I was completely alone with no supervision, no one to guide me, and no one to keep me in line. We lived in a poor section of Houston called Fondren, and to say it was a rough place would be putting it lightly. The other kids in the neighborhood weren't well off either, but it always felt like we had even less to our name. We moved at least 7 times, and things were so bad sometimes that there were days I would come home from school and there'd be no electricity, heat, or hot water. Over time, particularly after my older brothers moved out, I started hanging out with the wrong kind of people, the kind who would think nothing not only of carrying guns but using them. Back then, smoking marijuana wasn't an addiction for any of us. We were still boys, basically. It was just what everyone did. It was everywhere, just like alcohol was.
So Charles, Stephen A., Chris, you judge me now, but what if you came from here where I came from? Heck, maybe you did experience similar upbringings, but I wouldn't know because I don't know you. Each of you have dealt with more than your fair share of self-inflicted controversies, though, that I do know. Again, I make no excuses for my past. That culture didn't make me do anything I didn't want to do. But when you judge me without actually knowing me, you deny the existence of the world that I come from.
Gordon continues. I mean, this is... He's certainly getting in. You're getting in to understand this guy. Interesting that he would take this time, and certainly very articulately written. Later, when I went to college, it was like a dream come true. But in retrospect, I wasn't ready for it. I had to have that opportunity taken away from me before I could really look within myself and decide what I wanted for my future. Was I going to continue to break rules to get high, or was I going to get straight and make the most of my God-given talents? I made my choice when it came to the NFL, and I haven't wavered. Now I messed up again. It happened about 4 weeks ago. As most everyone knows, I missed a considerable portion of the 2014 season because I was suspended by the league. The details in relation to my reinstatement, however, are important to understand. In connection with the DWI case, the league, in consideration of the fact that my blood alcohol level was just 0.01 over the legal limit, agreed to shorten my punishment from 4 games lost to 2. Those games were tacked on to my 8-game suspension that had been levied on account of my inadvertently inhaling secondhand marijuana smoke last offseason. That punishment, while harsh, given what my lab results clearly showed, including a backup sample that was under the league threshold, was just. I foolishly put myself in a precarious situation, one which I could have easily avoided if I thought more clearly about the potential ramifications of my actions and who I chose to spend my time around.
As a strict condition of my reinstatement in week 12, I had to agree not only to abstain from drinking for the rest of the season, but also submit to an alcohol screening as a part of my in-season drug testing under the league's substance abuse protocol. Did I think that was excessive given that I had never had an issue with alcohol whatsoever? Yes. Did I think it was hypocritical that the professional league, making hundreds of millions of dollars off beer sponsorships, was telling me not to drink? Yes. Did I so much as blink at this condition? No. My primary concern was, as and is, being the best football player I can be. I really didn't even view it as much of a punishment or a sacrifice.
On January 2nd of this year, just days after our season ended earlier than we'd all hoped, and yes, my actions during the prior offseason definitely contributed to our failure to make the playoffs. It killed me seeing our guys fight so hard when I wasn't out there with them. I boarded a private flight to Las Vegas with several teammates. During that flight, I had 2 beers and 2 drinks. It was the first time I had consumed so much of a drop of alcohol since July 4th, 2014, the day of the DWI. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not much of a drinker. Even calling me a social drinker would be an exaggeration. But at that moment, on that flight, I made a choice. The wrong choice, as it turned out. Upon landing, I received the all-too-familiar notice by phone that I was to report to a testing location within 4 hours. I failed the test, obviously, and the rest is history, colored by media speculation and faux outrage. In the end, of course, I failed myself. It doesn't matter if I thought the league imposed restriction on drinking had expired at the end of the regular season. What matters is that I didn't confirm whether or not that was the case. Now that oversight has further jeopardized my relationship with my team, our fans, my reputation, and maybe even my career.
So that's it, Charles and company. These are the actual facts surrounding my situation, and these are my words. What comes next is uncertain. I haven't decided whether to appeal the latest suspension. That's a matter for my agent and me to discuss. To those of you who traffic in lies and innuendo over fact and seemingly no consequences for your actions, I really don't know how to get away from it.
What I do know is the following. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not someone who deserves to be dissected and analyzed like some tragic example of everything that can possibly go wrong for a professional athlete. And I'm not going to die on account of the troubled state you wrongly believe my life to be in. I'm a human being with feelings and emotions and scars and flaws just like anyone else. I make mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. But I'm a good person, and I will persevere. If I have a problem, it is that I'm the only 23-year-old with a lot left to learn. I've come a long way from those mean, foundering streets, but it's clear that I can be a better me, one who kids coming up to me for selfies and autographs can be proud of. I want that future for myself, and I truly believe that what I'm going through right now will only make me stronger. I believe that my future is bright. So if you see me someday, Chuck, Stephen A., or Chris, or any other well-intentioned person to whom this letter is directed, please come on over, shake my hand, and say hello. I won't be holding a grudge, but I will expect you to admit you were wrong about me. Sincerely, Josh Gordon, number 12.
Wow. And you know what that kind of reminds me of? Is he's coming from a great place. He is very level-headed in where he is in life right now, which has been speculated differently. But then, for those of you out there who have ever seen the movie 8 Mile with Eminem, you know how 8 Mile is getting made fun of for all the shortcomings and where he lives and having no money and, you know, so-and-so hooks up with his girlfriend. And later in the movie, he literally spills all those beans, everything yep. about, you know, his life and all his mistakes and all his shortcomings personally and collectively as a family. And there was nothing else left to say. It was all out there. All the skeletons were out. So then basically, you have nothing else to judge him for, you know, but from where he is at that point. And so all we can do now, after hearing that, I feel personally, having said we move forward from a guy, I think Josh is a guy that you bring into this building, that circle of trust that, you know, had those meetings about this organization just a few days ago, have those meetings with him to see where this letter came from, if it all is in fact true, and then moving forward, get Josh's perspective on what he feels the Cleveland Browns as an organization should do with him.
It's interesting that, you know, for all accounts of the people, and I've gotten, obviously, to talk to Josh Gordon a bunch, and he's always been a very polite guy and seemed like a guy who wanted to do better. Now, what's troubling about this plane flight he references was with a bunch of his teammates and at the time the wide receiver coach of the Cleveland Browns, who's no longer here, Mike McDaniel. So that's a little bit troubling that it happened in that environment. And, you know, obviously it's on you to know these things, especially when you're facing a year ban like Josh Gordon was. I thought this was a very open, a very honest account of what's gone on. I don't know, you know, I have no reason not to believe his facts
sure.
of the situation.
And for me as a player and the protocols that talked about.
As a player, okay, if you're Josh Gordon's teammate, because you talked earlier, you're pissed off, you can't count on this guy, he's completely failed you. As his teammates on the Cleveland Browns, who may share those similar sentiments to you, read this letter, what does it make you feel?
It makes me feel like you want to embrace him and you want to keep him around. And that's why I just spoke personally, you know, as if I was a teammate. I would say that get rid of him mentality is let's bring him in, let's evaluate him to the potential of keeping him here in Cleveland because of how we can help him. But that all being said is, for me as a teammate, I'm going to keep him at arm's length, and he's going to have to prove to me over time that he can keep his name out of the negative light that he is shining on himself and the organization that I'm a part of.
And it's unfortunate. I do think that this team has got guys who continue to do the wrong things
yeah.
that can talk very well. And
yes.
This was a very eloquent, very articulate piece that Josh Gordon penned here and wrote. And it does make you feel, you know, at the same time, you feel for him. You feel for the guy. It makes you want to root for him. At least it makes me want to root for him. But at the same time, he's got to be aware of the rules under which he is abiding by, and he's got to make sure that he doesn't, you know, violate those rules, and he needs to put himself in positions to succeed rather than, you know, putting himself in these positions where he's failed. But I'll tell you what, when you read this article and you kind of feel it coming from his perspective, that it's interesting because as I talked about, a lot of people say, you know, Josh Gordon really has a problem. He's got a problem. And he does have a problem. But if you kind of step back for a second, and I'm not talking about what happened in college, but if you listen to the facts as he lays them out, there are two sides to every story. But he took a doctor-prescribed medicine that had codeine that he didn't check with the league. That was his first ding in the NFL. Then the marijuana, he says he hasn't smoked marijuana since 2012 and has all the drug tests to prove it, and secondhand smoke got him. And then this one for alcohol. He had the disputed sample on the marijuana. We know that. I thought it was ridiculous what ended up happening to him. And now the alcohol one, it was just for drinking. It's not, he didn't do any, it was anything illegal or anything like that, you know, on a plane to Vegas. And we've all done things. So it does, what's hard for me about this is you have a person who's repeatedly getting himself into trouble, but it doesn't seem like he's like a raging drug addict
no.
or alcoholic.
And that's the point that I was going to make. It doesn't seem like he's, you know, he's addicted. What it seems like is he's just got a horrible sense of judgment. And I don't know that if he's insecure or immature, but it seems as if there's a significant amount of peer pressure that breaks him at certain points. You know, he's not smoking weed by himself or drinking by himself, which is a clear, you know, definition of being an alcoholic or a drug abuser. Doing it by yourself and enjoying that high by yourself. It seems to me that he's always doing it, you know, with friends, with teammates, or is swayed to do it because of the atmospheres he's in. So his judgment to put himself in those situations is bad. And then also, too, to succumb to the peer pressure of being guilty by association while everybody else is drinking, everybody else is smoking. You know, he could make the judgment to avoid those situations. And when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, the one thing that I still kind of like, you know, walk the tightrope and I kind of straddle the line in the sand on Josh Gordon is, it's this organization with hiring coaches and releasing guys and re-signing guys and drafting guys are doing the, and the culture change that we talk about are trying to right the ship and develop this process of winning. And it seems as if Josh Gordon is a monkey wrench, you know, and he's thrown and he's putting a kink in our engine, our kink in our process, sure. You know, that halts us because of the emotional, the surface level media, you know, negativity that he brings that the players have to deal with, the elephant in the room that I'm sure sometimes exists within the offensive room. You know, every time he walks into a room, he's being judged, he's being looked at. That takes away from the process of winning football.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think that, you know, again, the decision makers within this organization have to determine if it's worth it.
They've got to, and that's going to be a big determination this offseason. What's going on? I will say it was well done, and if he was attempting to get sympathy for me, at least on a temporary basis, you know, as I digest it and react to it, he did it. He did it. I thought it was I urge everybody to check it out. I retweeted it. Want to hear your thoughts on this right now, because I think obviously this is a big topic to get into. 216-578-0850. We can still talk Cavs. Was Kyrie's performance last night the best in Cavs history? A lot of people keep going back to Game 5 in Detroit where LeBron scored, what was it, the last 28 points of that game?
Yeah.
And that would be, to me, those are the only two that are even in the discussion. Interesting stuff from Josh Gordon. If you missed it, we just narrated that entire letter for you. You can get that on the website, or you can go read it for yourself right off of medium.com, The Cauldron, and, of course, off Josh Gordon's Twitter, my Twitter. I retweeted it as well. So we'll be back with your phone calls, talk about Josh Gordon, talking about the Cavs, talk about whatever you want, but certainly an interesting, very articulate, very insightful, very revealing article from Josh Gordon, very much admitting his failures, but also being very steadfast in his belief that he doesn't have the kind of problem that other people are assigning to him despite his repeated failures.
All of your flaws and all of my flaws, they lie.
At Conrad's, we don't just keep Northeast Ohio's cars rolling. We're helping to keep the economy rolling, too. We're growing and we're hiring. Store managers, service advisors, and technicians. Hardworking men and women with great people skills. No industry experience? If you got what it takes, we'll teach you. Enjoy family-friendly hours, paid holidays, excellent pay, and benefits. If you're as passionate about our community as we are, we want you on our team. Visit econrads.com or give us a call.
The Battery, modern day fire, powering everything from remote control cars to the car in your garage. So when your car battery is reaching the end of the line, or you're wondering whether it is, stop by Advance Auto Parts. We'll test your old one for you, free of charge. And if you purchase a new Autocraft battery, we'll install it for free. Only if you'd like us to, of course. Advance Auto Parts, let's get you back to the garage.
Most vehicles, most locations. See store for details.
Excellence breeds success. This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and we have been successful by every measure. Over 25 years ago, when I chose to resign as president of the world's largest mattress company, a few of my associates and I started the Original Mattress Factory. We now operate over 100 stores in 11 different metropolitan markets. We have a strong customer base, and over 50% of our business comes from repeat customers and referrals. We have also received numerous accolades for our service, selection, and value. We did not achieve this success, however, by striving for it. We have instead been continually striving for excellence and happen to find success along the way. And we will continue to do business the right way. We will continue to manufacture high-quality products that are built right and built to last. We will also continue to provide real value by selling these products at factory direct prices to make your mattress shopping experience a success of its own. Check us out at originalmattress.com.
Follow the latest news on the Cleveland Cavaliers with Tony Carreño's coverage of the games, powered by WOW Cable. Visit ESPNCleveland.com every day to check out all of Tony's articles. And check out WOW Cable today for faster internet service. Go to WOWWay.com now. WOW Cable was rated highest in customer service among high-speed internet providers in the North Central region. WOW, it's that kind of experience. Call 1-866-4-WOW now or go to WOWWay.com.
Mix, meet, and mingle over drinks at WXYZ Bar at the new Aloft Cleveland Downtown Hotel. Enjoy specialty sips and seasonal cocktails from around the world with Aloft. They've got it all. Check out WXYZ Bar live music performances and can't-miss events. Learn more at AloftClevelandDowntown.com. WXYZ Bar at Aloft Cleveland Downtown Hotel. Different by design.
Stop by Avalon RV in Medina for crazy low prices and rock bottom pricing. While you're there, you can register for the chance to join the ESPN Cleveland camping experience in July. The Avalon RV ESPN Cleveland camping trip is July 16th through the 18th at Country Acres Campground in Ravenna. And one lucky winner and a guest will win an Avalon RV rental for the weekend. To register, stop by Avalon RV Center, located at 1604 Medina Road in Medina. For more deals, go to avalonrvcenter.com.
It's never too early to start thinking about training camp, and right now you can take advantage of Golf Tech's training camp package. With six Northeast Ohio locations, it's easier than ever to get started. With each training camp package, you receive a swing evaluation, 10 private lessons, 18 hours of video practice, and tech club fitting. This season will be here before you know it, so let Golf Tech get you on a proven path to proven results this winter. In North Olmsted, Beechwood, Middleburg Heights, Brecksville, Fairlawn, and Canton, get to Golf Tech now or go to their website, golftech.com.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting your reaction. Obviously, the bro night at the Cavs last night, as well as Josh Gordon's letter that was just written. We just read it on the air. An interesting, brutally honest look at his life from his own words. Now, certainly, he does not think that he has a problem. He tells you why he believes that. I think, obviously, he has a problem getting in trouble. But maybe, you know, when you look at the facts of the case, it's possible to walk down his narrative. But at the same time, you need to make sure when you do know the rules that you're not putting yourselves in those kind of situations.
You're right. And the one point that I do want to make, and, you know, and I don't want to discount the type of upbringing he had. But what I do want to say to make a point is, because I've played with them, they've been in my meeting rooms, you know, my linebacker room, is he's not the only guy to be raised with a, you know, by a single parent with multiple brothers and sisters. He's not the only one that probably had to struggle for money and for food some nights of the week. He's not the only one that was raised in a bad neighborhood and with a high influence of gang and guns and drugs. So, I also do think that the NFL, and when we get to learn more about the players in this league, it becomes very apparent that a lot of these guys come from a similar upbringing, and that a lot of these guys, and that's what I think a little bit of what's wrong with youth football right now, is that these coaches, you know, harp on some of this young talent and they preach into their mind that the only way to get out and to avoid you know, the gang violence and the drugs is through sports. And sports is an amazing outlet, but I think you take away the education standpoint of getting your degree and potentially setting up yourself. If you're all in dream of playing the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, whatever it is, falls flat on its face, you have nothing to fall back on, and you fall back into the life that you know, which is, you know, gangs, drugs, and violence.
Yeah, and you wonder what Josh Gordon, he said he was talking about the flight to Vegas. Remember, they released that video where they're throwing the money around.
He has the money. He throws probably 30, 40 grand.
Everybody was like a little bit.
And Josh Gordon was giving gifts.
Right. And you wonder how much that video played into this as well. It just shows, to me, what I take away from this is that he doesn't think he has a problem. What he does have a problem with is awareness and adherence to the rules. He may not have a substance problem, and I'm okay with that being potentially the case. But he may have an issue, and clearly does, with adhering to the policies that he has agreed to abide by.
Sure, absolutely. And I think, but that also too, Nathan, just because I've been aware, and we are, the NFL does an amazing job of making you aware and giving you every resource at your fingertips to know. I mean, you can know as little as a detail on the copay of your insurance as an NFL football player, if you truly want to know. That information is readily available. And something as serious as a drug, you know, as a drug policy that affects your career, your brand, and the money that you make, it is all right there in front of your face. You are given, I mean, even still as a former player, pamphlets come to my house on a monthly basis with my benefits, with my insurance, with any changes, any addendums. So the NFL does everything they can to make you aware to all the rules. What you do with that, you know, is up to the individual. And then also, too, even more so, when it comes to the resources, I mean, I have the NFLPA, I have the NFL hotline saved in my phone. If there is any question that I have about anything when it comes to money, drugs, insurance, whatever it was, both as a player and former, I call to understand. And I mean, even as something as simple for me is they've created the trust, is what they call it for former NFL players. I mean, there are free assets out there to me. As a former player dealing with health issues and fitness issues and financial issues and marriage issues, whatever your problem is, it's out there for free for you. You know, that if you just make a call and you're aware, you can use those. But if you don't and you turn a blind eye, those resources are of no use for you. And in some cases, I think a significant amount of the players in the NFL are so worried about the here and now, their brand, social media, and how they're perceived, that all that goes for naught to a high portion of players in the NFL and former as well.
You know, as a player, so do you think, so this comes out, do you think, and this is obviously going to be going around, you know, making the rounds in media, everybody's going to be talking about it. And if you were a player, would you be reading this immediately? Like, would you be reading, if you're Josh Gordon's teammate, do you think all the guys in the Browns are reading this and then reaching out to him? How does that happen?
I would say that, and again, I'm a numbers guy, I'm a percentage guy. I would say 30 to 50% of the Browns roster will be aware that there is a letter by Josh Gordon. And the others, you know, some of the guys aren't on Twitter or active on Twitter, they won't even know that it's around. Maybe even until they come back in April. You know, or, hey, did you read their letter? What letter? You know, and that's the kind of questions you would ask. But then I would say, you know, of that 30 to 50% of guys, that what I'd say, you know, again, a significant number of them will be intrigued in regards to what it says. And I think what it says, not necessarily as sad as it is what is Josh saying? It's what is Josh saying about Sir Charles and Stephen A. and Chris Carter, you know, faces that we see on a nightly basis on television. You know, that we're enjoying. If you're watching TNT, you see Charles Barkley. And then you connect your teammate, Josh Gordon, with Charles Barkley. And you go, well, what did he say? Let me pull up that letter and read it. You know, and that it's that inquisitive nature of you that makes you want to. And I do think a small percentage, probably that I'd say a half a dozen to a dozen guys would reach out to Josh who have read it in full and give him some positive reinforcement on where he was coming from and talk about, can't wait to have you back, and give him something encouraging and say, hey, dude, you got a big pair for being able to write something like that and calling out, you know, guys who have a, significant career in their fields, both on and off the field, something that, you know, we all aspire to be. You've called them out and put them on blast.
No question about it. Let's go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Matt in Canal Fulton with us. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I think the most troubling thing for me is that if that happened while he was on the plane to Vegas, wasn't the wide receiver coach on the plane too? I mean, why didn't somebody grab him and kind of snap him back to reality? What's most troubling to me is that all the guys the teammates have to know the situation he's in, and nobody was...
No question, and Mike McDaniel no longer with the Browns, the wide receiver coach who was there, and his teammates. It seems to me from reading the letter that Josh Gordon was probably under the impression, and he was erroneously under the impression, that he could drink after the season ended. So it was days after the season ended, he thought that he was, you know, he didn't know that he could not drink at that time. He made a wrong choice, as he said, and upon landing, he got tested, and of course he failed, and he said, I failed myself.
Gotcha.
Yes, if people on the plane were aware of the rules, then I don't think, yes, then I think they're all, you know, somebody should have said something to him. But at the end of the day, he's a grown man, and if he's like, I'm going to have a drink, I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah, and I want to make one point. And I'm not a scientist, I will say, but having followed these guidelines and also to having seen other players deal with this 4-hour window of where they had to be to supply their urine specimen for testing, is in a private jet, a trip from Cleveland to Las Vegas is about how long? Direct. 4 hours?
Three and a half.
Okay, yeah. 3.5, 4. Okay. The average human being can process one drink an hour, right?
Yep.
So that all being said, I'm not trying to say Josh Gordon is beating the system or could have beat the system. I mean, I think he could. Is okay. Say he had, you know, 4 drinks over the course of that 3.5 hours. I would have taken 3 hours and 59 minutes to provide a specimen and drink as much water and take as many pees as I could have to get that alcohol out of my system if he truly had 4 drinks. So that's where you can kind of see if they're, you know, it's great that he's honest. I had 2 beers and 2 drinks. You know, who was pouring those drinks, and were they doubles, or was it more than 2 drinks? Because an athlete's body specifically, and as big as he is, should be able to process 4 drinks in 4 hours.
It's amazing to me as well that the NFLPA would agree to some standard at any point for a player that he could, if he ever had a drop of alcohol in his system, that he was going to fail a test.
It's not a drop of alcohol. It's, you know, it's yeah. Oh, you're in that case. Yes, you're right. But then also too, it's the crapshoot of him taking. This is the judgment call that I talked about earlier with Josh Gordon. Is I'm getting on a plane, and with Josh Gordon being in the drug program, you have to make them aware of any travel that you do.
Okay.
So they can have an associate potentially at everywhere that you are to test you if your number is called or if they so choose. And in this case, they did. And Josh Gordon, what he did, as he claimed in his letter, was, hey, I made a bad decision and had 2 drinks and 2 beers. And in his judgment, more so than anything, is Nathan, it's I'm higher than mighty. I'm entitled. They're not going to be, you know, at McCarran International Airport when I land. No way. Not the first day. And then because Josh could have went to Vegas, landed, and not had a drink his whole Vegas trip and got tested the next day.
Would have been fine.
And it would have been fine. But it was that entitlement, that demigod mentality that some of these players have, that they're untouchable. And Josh Gordon has been touched multiple times.
And certainly, yes, he has, and it continues to rear its ugly head for him as the latest violation, which he admitted to, coming out and saying that he did fail the test, is going to cost him a season. Now, he said he might appeal it. We don't know, but it sounds like it is going to cost him a full season in the National Football League. Let's go to George and Chardon now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, George.
The most troubling thing in this whole thing, and I do have some empathy for this guy, but, you know, number one, he's definitely in denial. He's in denial over the fact that maybe he is not an addict, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever. But he's in denial over the fact that he has no capacity to make a rational decision. And this is where he needs help. You know, most of us have a little voice inside of us that when we're confronted with a life-altering decision, there's a little voice inside of us that helps us make the right decision. And this is what this guy's missing. He cannot make a decision, does not have the capacity to make the decision, and maybe it is because of his upbringing, so on and so forth. But anybody that consistently makes the bad choices that this guy has made, I mean, ask yourself this question. If you're confronted with the fact that you're going to have 2 or 3 drinks on a 3 or 4 hour flight that could possibly cost you a career and $100 million, what decision would you make? I mean, obviously, most of us, most of us that have half a brain understand, you know, when confronted with that type of a decision, what we're going to do. But that's the part that I feel sorry for this guy. And I know people, believe me, their whole life that go through this consistently making bad decision after bad decision. And that in itself is a sickness.
You're absolutely right about that. And in some cases, you know, yesterday when we had Joe Hayden on air and we talked about, you know, what a Cleveland Brown he is and how he talked positively about a guy like Johnny Manziel when there's been so much negativity surrounding that guy. And I kind of, in some cases, rolled my eyes at Joe Hayden's comments about Johnny Manziel because everything that we've seen from Johnny has been the polar opposite. And I think that for Joe Hayden to be on that plane and to be the ultimate Cleveland Brown and team player and talk so highly of a guy like Johnny Manziel, who has screwed up multiple times already and has proven nothing, that he wouldn't literally take the drink and smack it out of the hand.
He might not have known. Well, you know what I mean? He might not have known that he couldn't have a drink. Because everybody immediately assumed, by the way, when you heard about, you know, the failure for Josh Gordon, it was immediately assumed it was marijuana.
Sure.
And I think that's what everybody immediately thought. But in this case, it was alcohol, and we didn't even know that he could. Firstly, what do you mean alcohol? He could fail for alcohol, so I didn't know it. You know, I don't know that his teammates would have known it.
Right, but my point is, it's again, he might not have known, but what if he did? And now you have to live with, could I have stopped this, you know, and helped my teammate out this way, you know, simply by asking a question. Dude, are you good? Are you sure you're good? Text your agent right now and make sure you're good.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not trying to say he doesn't mean anything, because if you were that serious and you love your teammates that much, you would ask those simple questions and not get caught up in the moment of private jets, you know, Louis Vuitton wallets, Beats by Dre, you know, chrome headphones, and stacks of money banging together, that you would ask that one question.
Oh, it was somebody needed to step in there and nobody did. You're right about that. We've got Jeff in Westlake now. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I thought it was a really impressive letter by Josh. You know, I don't think he really made any excuses, and I don't think people were spinning it that way or being fair to him. He went through a whole litany of everybody he's failed and all the different bad mistakes that he made on his own and all the different people he failed, so he accepts that. I think what his focus really was kind of condemning the media overreaction. I mean, you have all these, and he makes a really good point. You have all these pundits on TV and on the radio going off about what his life is like and what he's like, who've never met the guy. And I think it's absolutely fair of him to point that out. And I think the thing he's pointing out with his background is not as an excuse. It was to say, look, you know, this is what I came from. I'm here now. I'm still standing. And that is a victory of sorts. And he's not giving up. So it doesn't change what I think the Browns should do with him, but it does make me think better from him. And then the last point, the guy talked about denial of decision-making. There are so many people in prominent positions who do absolutely stupid things that if they get caught, it could be catastrophic. They do them anyway.
Yep.
We have the county commissioner with the girl in the parking lot. We have the president, Monica Lewinsky. I mean, people do stupid things. And it's not an excuse, but there is some perspective that we kind of demonize a guy for being, you know, this horrible guy. And you read Gordon's letter, and yeah, you screwed up, and yeah, there's consequences to it. But it doesn't mean that you're exactly the way that you've been portrayed. You know, almost, you're going to die like Barkley. So that was kind of ridiculous.
Jeff, very good call, very good points. And I think that everybody who wants to go in and, you know, criticize could look in the mirror. There are things that I know that I've done in my life, and maybe it's once a year or twice a year. It's probably a heck of a lot more than that, but that had I gotten caught doing it, you know, it would have been really, really bad for me.
Absolutely. And
I don't think I have a problem, but that's just kind of how life is.
Absolutely. And to the caller's point, for me, Matt Wilhelm is essentially similar to Sir Charles and Stephen A. Because, I mean, I have not shook Josh Gordon's hand. I've stood next to him. I've walked by him. You give him the nod. He doesn't know me. I, of course, know who he is. And I'm here making comments about Josh Gordon. And I'm not being overly judgmental. I'm coming from an inside player perspective on how I would think or what I think, you know, or what I would think if he were my teammate. So, and again, that, but that's my job to do that. But my whole point is, it's a recurring issue with him with bad judgment, and what people like him, and I'm not, this is not just Josh, as you said, as he said, there's a lot of people make stupid decisions. What in Josh's case, and or people like his case, is you're under a microscope now because of social media, and every decision that you make affects you, your brand, your foundation, your family, the people in the city that you're from, the people and the fans and the organization that you represent when you put, when they drafted you, it's bigger than just you.
Yep.
And that's how, you know, you can say, you know, as we said yesterday, Joe Hayden, why I asked that question about negative light versus positive light, you know, how much positive does Joe shine on the Cleveland Browns when he steps up and he's the first, you know, in the world ever to hold a certain standing with the Special Olympics the way he did. It makes Joe look great, it makes his foundation look great, and it makes looks like the Cleveland Browns are doing something good. And then you have a guy on the other side of the coin, you know, who's been slightly productive, you know, has all the talent in the world, and is just shining, again, consistently shining a negative light on everybody that he surrounds. And you're guilty by association. Those guys on the plane are guilty by association, and they all should have stepped up and said something, you know, whether they did or they not.
If they knew, right.
If they knew, you know, but it's, again, if all it is, dude, are you good? Are you sure you're good? Then do whatever you got to do,
so
man.
So if you said that, though, then if they did say that in your mind, then they've done their job.
Absolutely. You're not, yeah. Again, you're not going to take the drink out of a grown man's hand.
Right. Absolutely. Here's a quote. JDizzy032782 tweeted us from Josh Gordon right after he got drafted or assigned, taken in the supplemental draft. Despite everything I've been through, despite being a kid with a spotty background, the Cleveland Browns stuck their neck out and risk-taking me and put their faith and belief in me, and I won't let them down. I'm grateful, and I know I can't go back to being the person I used to be, and yet, obviously, the Browns have been let down many times by Josh Gordon. Our guy Bob Rose, Bob in Cleveland, who calls up all the time, said, I also blame the NFLPA for agreeing to this alcohol deal for Gordon. The NFL commissioner probably couldn't pass a 10 times a month booze test. I don't think many adults in this country, you know, could unless they felt that they needed to be sober for a different reason.
No, you're right. Whatever. But you're right. And I don't know this to be a fact or not, but if 52 other gentlemen on this Browns roster have not had this trouble and are not, you know, under the governing body of the NFL drug and substance abuse policy, they can get inebriated 7 days a week and stumble home, you know, but use a limo service or have their wife drive them or use Uber or whatever it is. But they can get wasted 7 nights a week.
Yeah,
but when you've been wrong and you've been caught, you have to abide by a different set of rules.
Yes, you do. We'll continue to talk about this letter from Josh Gordon, your reaction to it, when we return here for hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, John and Dallas, Lori and Snow. We'll get to you right after this.
Welcome to AT&T.
Hi, can you tell us more about rollover data?
Yeah, what do we have to do?
Not a thing. If you're a mobile share value customer, your unused plan data automatically rolls over for 1 month. It's our way of saying thanks.
That's so wonderful.
You know, let's hug.
Oh, that's okay. We don't have to.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think we'd.
Nice.
Let's bring it in.
Oh,
wow. And we're hugging. All three of us. Really hugging. It smells like bacon.
Introducing AT&T Rollover Data. All mobile share value plans now come with rollover data on the network with the nation's strongest LTE signal. AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Available only with AT&T mobile share value plans. Rollover data automatically expires after 1 month or with any plan change. Other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/rollover data for details. Signal strength claim based only on average LTE signal strength for national carriers.
Loyalty can be hard to find these days. That's why at Advance Auto Parts, we've decided to reward your dedication with some loyalty of our own. Introducing Speed Perks, the most generous parts rewards program out there. For every $30 you spend, we'll give you $5 back on your next qualified purchase. No card to carry, no points to keep track of. And your rewards are good on everything in the store. Advance Auto Parts, let's get you back to the garage.
See store to sign up or visit speedperks.com for details.
Check out the newest Lady Jane's in Strongsville. Get a precision haircut, followed by a hot lather neck shave, hot towel treatment, and a scalp massage fit for a king. Lady Jane's on Pearl Road, just south of Royalton Road in Strongsville. It's wicked awesome.
Stop by the Southeast Harley booth at the Progressive International Motorcycle Show at the IX Center this Saturday. Noon till 2, win prizes from the ESPN Cleveland Street Team. 2 to 3:30, meet the Lake Erie Monsters Hockey Girls and free pictures and autographs with the Cleveland Gladiators. The International Motorcycle Show, IX Center, this Saturday.
Better deals, better tire brands, and a better way to buy them. That's what you'll find at your neighborhood NTB, where right now, through January 31st, you can buy three tires and get one free when you get all four installed. Choose from select in-stock tires, Goodyear, Continental, Nitto, Cooper, and other top brands. Plus, take advantage of NTB's special financing. When you visit our newly designed NTB stores, you'll always find a great selection of the top tire brands. It's just one more way we make tire buying easy. Come into NTB today, where now through January 31st, buy three tires and get one free when you get all four installed. Local, state, and or tire disposal fees where applicable. Not valid with other discount offers. Eligibility may vary depending on tire size and model. See store for details. Come into NTB today. Buy three tires and get one free instantly. NTB Service Centers, that's all you need.
The Really Big Show, weekday mornings at 9 on your home for Cleveland Browns football. ESPN 850, WKNR Cleveland.
The new year has begun, and the deals keep getting better at Liberty Ford. Right now, for only $179 a month, you choose the 2015 Ford Fusion or the Ford Escape, both for only $179 a month. Choose from hundreds in stock now at the all-new LibertyFord.com. And rest assured, Northeast Ohio, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Hi, I'm Wilma Smith. I'm like you when it comes to picking up my prescriptions. I don't want to park a mile away, fight the crowds, wait in long lines. That's why I go to Discount Drug Mart. Drug Mart is in my neighborhood and always convenient. The pharmacists know me and are always helpful. Discount Drug Mart's generic prescription program features hundreds of medications and over-the-counter products used to treat diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure, and more. Many as low as $1.99. Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround and a whole lot more.
Cleveland Browns First and Ten program is a global effort designed to inspire Browns fans everywhere to volunteer 10 hours of service to their community. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com today and take the pledge to give 10. Move your community forward by giving 10 hours of your time. Take the pledge today and tell us about it using hashtag Give10.
Is she happy, healthy, big enough? Are we swaddling too tight? When will he crawl and walk and talk? And why is bedtime such a fight? Should he be playing outside more, not staring at these screens? And when did my sweet little girl become a slightly less sweet teen? From small to big and in between, as long as children grow. For every question, every kid, there's only one Rainbow. Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. To find a Rainbow doctor, call 216-4KIDS.
Whether you're landing at the Cleveland airport after time away or pulling into your driveway after a long day at work, it always feels good to be home. Local Allstate agents can relate, and they can help protect the place you call home with Allstate House and Home Insurance. Get great protection, plus helpful tools, local insurance advice, and lots of ways to save. So talk to an Allstate agent about home insurance today, and let the good life in.
Call a Cleveland area Allstate agent today, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
For David, strengthening his family business also meant preserving his family's legacy. This is why he came to First Merit Private Bank. Their experienced client advisors got to know David's long-term goals and developed a custom strategy that included family estate and business succession planning. It's exactly what he needed now to build a solid foundation for the future. Learn more at firstmerit.com/private bank. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hey, Browns fans, K&D is proud to invite you to live in one of the five most desirable addresses downtown. The Residences at Hanna, 668, Reserve Square, Stonebridge, and now offering Residences at 1717 in the 912 District. Their suites offer granite countertops, custom cabinets, amazing views, and everything is right at your doorstep. You can even walk to the Browns games. You deserve a K&D quality home. Check out everything K&D has to offer downtown and throughout Northeast Ohio at knd.com.
2015 is here, and with it comes huge savings at Liberty Ford. Right now, save up to $10,000 on the new 2014 F-150 or choose 0% financing for 60 months plus $1,500 in rebates. Visit the all-new LibertyFord.com to view our massive selection of new Fords. And rest assured, Northeast Ohio, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
He's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You keep on flirting, you know that it's working. You're stuck in my head, girl, riding the line.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. They've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here. We're going to keep it going. 216-578-0850. Let's go on the phones now, and we've got John in Dallas. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, guys. Three quick things. In my opinion, he was doomed when he got on that plane, being the alcohol. And
agreed.
Secondly, it's his agent's job to inform him what he can and can't do. If the agent didn't inform him of this, per the testing and the alcohol testing and that, he would have fired his agent a couple days ago. And three, I think most fans are upset, not that he had a drink or he let the team down. It's the amount of money he's pissed away that it'll take most of us 10 years to make. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. And, yeah, I mean, obviously on a personal level, that is big. He's taken wins, obviously, away from the Cleveland Browns, you would think, because of the things that have happened. So, it's tough. Listen, he's only 20. He's going to be 25 years old in 2016 when he's eligible to play again. Only 25 in 2016.
No,
so
I understand.
He still has the opportunity. That's why people, I wouldn't cut him. I think you hold on to him. If he's ever going to play down in the NFL, he might as well do it for your team. Do you believe in him? No. Is it always going to be constantly, you're going to have to prove to me? Yes, every day. It's like, one day at a time. That's why you're going to have to take it with Josh Gordon.
But I recall, again, just following the Cleveland Browns, not working for the Cleveland Browns. You remember prior to the 2013 season, there were talks of, fans wanting to trade Josh Gordon because of the two-game suspension, and he had, he was one mess up away from losing him for the remainder of the season is what people thought. And so it's just it's been a constant problem. And I just don't know that, unless someone, and I think, someone on behalf of the NFL or an outside, third-party source can validate that they feel to the decision makers of the Cleveland Browns that this guy has his head in the clouds, no longer in the clouds, that he is clear and he is decisive and he understands the rules and he has abided by them for, as I said, a significant amount of time. 6 months, a year, 18 months, whatever it is, it has to weigh into your decision because his judgment is basically the root of all his evil. And I thought the caller made a great point is getting on that plane was his demise. But he's absolutely right in saying that because of what he was going to be succumbed to. But then also, too, is the destination with which they were going to, of all places. Sin City. I love Vegas as much as you love Vegas as much as the next guy. But Josh Gordon getting on that plane, knowing what he was going to get exposed to for that 3.5-hour flight, and then what he also was going to have to get exposed to in Sin City and Las Vegas for the next, multiple days. It takes a strong man who has the problems that he has to overcome them after years of abstaining from those problems, but he was in the midst of those problems and succumbed himself to be getting on that plane and going to Las Vegas. It would have been a different story if they're going, you know, we're going to fly out to Monterey Peninsula and go play some golf with some teammates. You wouldn't think that way. You know, yeah, you're going to have some fun. There's going to be drinking involved, but what you wouldn't think, the ultimate sins and the ultimate temptations would be right at the fingertips for Josh Gordon on a second or minute basis like it is in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yes, that is not the place to go when you got problems. Mike in North Ridgeville, welcome to the show.
I just wanted to give you a little perspective. I'm a pharmacist by trade as to why Josh Gordon absolutely is a drug addict.
Thank you.
You know, most people want to think, and Josh definitely one of them, that a drug addict is a person who, if they're not getting high, they're in a dark room with a blanket wrapped around them with the chills, or, you know, if they don't have a drink first thing in the morning, that they got the shake. You know, that's somebody who is physically dependent on a drug, and that usually goes hand in hand with addiction. But addiction is defined just strictly by behavior that has consequences to your life. Your drug use, your alcohol use, having negative effects on your family life, on your financial state,
career,
on your work, on your career, yes. Obviously, all things that he struggles with. And so a lot of times people want to say, oh, it's just marijuana. You know, it's not cocaine. He's not an addict. He absolutely is an addict because his, you know, all the way back to college, on down the line, he still hasn't learned. He still has the same behavior that keeps influencing him negatively. Is he physically dependent on any substance? Absolutely not. But is he a drug addict? Yes, he absolutely is. Thanks, guys. I love the show.
Thank you very much for the call, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, when you look up, I know, you know, when you look up addiction on the internet, whether it be a gambling addiction, a drinking addiction, a, you know, whatever other kind of addiction there is out there, it is defined by, you know, doing something that you know will cause harm to you and doing it anyway.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Al in Ohio City, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to say I think the Browns should hold on to him throughout.
I agree with you.
And then try to trade him because I know there's somebody that's going to want him and try to get some value for him. I think I feel sorry for the young man, but he created this mess himself, and I don't think the Browns have been penalized enough by holding on to him and supporting him and him, you know, falling off the wagon. I think they should try to get something for him.
In my opinion, I was pretty sure, by the way, that Josh Gordon wasn't going to be playing here again. I thought that was not a foregone conclusion, but I think what you were talking about, the caller was just talking about there, trading him was going to be the route that they were going to try to go because he would have, you know, this year and then another year where it'd be until he'd be a restricted free agent. So teams would have had a couple of years with him. Now, certainly, I think it becomes tougher. I think you proceed as though Josh Gordon will never play a down for you. Anything you get from him is a bonus. And you remember, he's only going to be 25 in 2016. And in terms of talent, he is one of the most talented receivers in the National Football.
You're right. And I agree with that. If it happens the way we all thought it would, you kind of, again, you compartmentalize and you put him over in the corner and let him deal positively with the repercussions that have been dealt to him. But my, you know, my hesitation in doing so is, based on his track record, he can't stay out of trouble. He can't stay out of that negative light. And when that negative light, even though he's over in the corner, when his name comes up and something negative is tagged with it, the Cleveland Browns as an organization and everything that they're doing on the football field every Sunday is irrelevant at that point. They could be undefeated 8-0, and when Josh Gordon in a corner does something bad, the Cleveland Browns are looked down upon.
Well, if he does anything else bad, he's going to be gone. His career is going to be over. So at this point, to me, it's you got to see. It's show me. There's no downside to holding on to him.
No.
There's really no downside to holding on to him. That's what, and that's where it shakes out for me. Mark in East Cleveland, welcome to CBD.
Yeah, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I love the show. 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock every day. I'm at work, but it helps me make it through the day. So
awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, listen, first of all, I respect the letter because it's well thought of, and I don't care how he was coached or anything, got his message across articulately, which was real good. Also, I wouldn't trade him. I think that between him and Johnny, their actions are going to speak louder than their words, whereas if he messes up again or Johnny did, just going to take care of themselves, the Browns won't have any. You don't have to make that big decision. But finally, Coach, he's from Houston, Josh Gordon is from Houston. Right, Coach Lucas, John Lucas, used to be the Cavs, has a program down there, some kind of rehab program. Have either of you heard of it? And if so, I was wondering, has anybody mentioned it to him or steered him that way? Because he seems to have a good rehab program. I'll listen to you, and thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. I'm not sure that that program's been mentioned specifically to him. I know that the team is trying to provide whatever support to him to encourage him to do whatever he has to do to overcome these issues. I know that for sure. I'll tell you what, as our guy Gary in Canfield, who tweets us all the time here on the show at Flautomatic, he likes the fact that Gordon's owning up to his past, doesn't talk about what others can't do. He says he has to be better. It would be a hell of a redemption story. Now let's see if he owns up to his word and makes it happen. And again, this team right now has a lot of talented people here that are talking the talk, and they need to walk the walk. I think Josh Gordon, Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert immediately come to mind in that regard. They need to figure out a way to actually follow through on their very strong words.
You're right. And the crazy thing about that is, as I've said for Johnny, all three of these guys, I believe, need to have a veteran take them under their wing and walk them through life as a pro, not just in the building, what you do outside the building, how you live your life outside this building, and how the fact, you know, you don't see tweets ablazing by Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers. You know, they're showcasing their life in such a positive way, you know, not enticing the wrong followers. You know, so much to the fact that, you know, it's the light that has been shined on them in such a positive way that when you have young kids want to grow up to be like him, you know. And I think when you look at these guys, it's they have to understand that when they make the decisions. I did not personally early in my career, but it was those veterans, the Kenan McCardells, the Randall Godfrey's, yep. You know, of course, Randall and I were both linebackers, so we were in the room, but Kenan McCardell's locker was two or three down from me. Just get to pick his brain and grab that experience from him and interject it into my situation and learn from his mistakes or his teammates' mistakes so that I didn't walk that same path.
And that's what you've got to do. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Clearly, it's an interesting topic. Just talking about the life of an NFL player, the travel, the travails, the ups and downs, and Josh Gordon shedding light on, you know, his personal journey in a very honest letter we read earlier here on the show, which you can find online and get him off his Twitter, my Twitter, et cetera. Very, very interesting today to kind of digest this, go through it, and see where you come out on Josh Gordon. And we'll be back with your phone calls right after this on ESPN 850 WKNR.
A new year is upon us, and the savings have never been better at Liberty Ford. Right now, save up to $6,000 off MSRP on the 4-door Focus SE or the 5-door hatchback. That's 6,000 reasons to choose from Ohio's largest Ford selection at the all-new LibertyFord.com. And rest assured, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
She's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
At Biljack, we know your dog is an important member of your family. Since 1947, we have been committed to providing only the highest quality nutrition and the absolute best-tasting dog food. Biljack is a hometown favorite made right here in Medina, Ohio. So pick up a bag of Biljack frozen dog food today. Biljack will make a visible difference in your dog's appearance. And your dog will love the taste, guaranteed. Available at your local Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of your Cleveland Browns.
Is she happy, healthy, big enough? Are we swaddling too tight? When will he crawl and walk and talk? And why is bedtime such a fight? Should he be playing outside more, not staring at these screens? And when did my sweet little girl become a slightly less sweet teen? From small to big and in between, as long as children grow. For every question, every kid, there's only one Rainbow. Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. To find a Rainbow doctor, call 216-4KIDS.
In sports, every battle comes with a start time. But our battles don't begin with a coin flip, and they don't end when the whistle blows. Our opponents, wind, storms, time, and chance, are always present. We battle darkness, powerlessness. We're Ohio Edison, and we're fighting right now. And if you don't notice us, that means we're winning.
And we did.
August 27th at First Energy Stadium. Everybody wants to rock. One Direction. On the Road Again Tour 2015. Tickets are on sale Saturday at noon. Buy tickets at LiveNation.com or call 800-745-3000. Don't miss One Direction. On the Road Again Tour 2015.
The new year has begun, and the deals keep getting better at Liberty Ford. Right now, for only $179 a month, you choose the 2015 Ford Fusion or the Ford Escape, both for only $179 a month. Choose from hundreds in stock now at the all-new LibertyFord.com. And rest assured, Northeast Ohio, nobody pays more for your trade than Liberty.
Visit LibertyFord.com for details.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Nathan Zagura, of course. Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. After our great bro night at the Cavs game, saw Kyrie Irving drop 55 points in the win over, of course,
the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yes, yes.
A quality team.
We're going to go back to the phone lines right now. Quality team, quality win. Too bad. Too bad we were not able to see that, you know, the kid was not able to see it.
Yeah. He probably listened to it.
He listened to it.
On his way out.
Doesn't count.
But it's not the same, man.
Not the same.
And that was my first experience being back in New Quicken. And I will say that the floor is sick. The video boards are the closest to Jerry World that exists in the NBA.
You like that? Oh, with those video? Yeah.
Yeah, they're strong. Saying,
strong. It's a strong video
strong.
Board. No question about it. 216-578-0850. We've got Pete and Avon. Pete, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, great show. Love listening to you. My take on this is I think just about everybody from the organization, from the team to the teammates, to about 90% of the sports talk show hosts are enabling these sports guys. Probably since the high school and definitely through college, they've been coddled, and it's always somebody else's fault. I mean, at what point are you old enough to take responsibility for your own life? I mean, how long are you going to hold their hand?
You can't. You're right about that. You can't. You can't. And he's got to figure out a way within the rules that have been collectively bargained for him in the National Football League that he can abide by them and keep himself out of trouble. And if he doesn't, then he is not going to be there. That's the bottom line. I think it's just that simple. Let's go now to Johnny in Dallas. Johnny, welcome to the show. What's up, Johnny?
Oh, hey guys. Sorry, I didn't hear you call me in. Hey, I think I don't know if you guys remember what it was like to be 23 and some of the decisions you made.
I do.
But,
I do.
You know, I do too. And you know, you make some really stupid decisions. Now, I was sick, so I felt really bad for the kid when I heard that he had failed another one. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are ready to give up and you know, calling this guy out, and we don't know him. You know how many of the guys in the NFL who would fail out if they had to undergo the test that this kid's been in and having to undergo since he came into the league? I mean, he screwed up in college, and it's been something hanging over his head ever since. That's a tough go, and I can't say that I would have been able to pass all those for all those years. Do they have an inner circle? I know the Browns used to have a group of people that needed some help to discuss some of these issues.
I would definitely think they do. I know that there is a team psychologist that is on payroll and on staff here. That is, I saw him today, so he's always here. There's, of course, you develop a great relationship with your player development guy. You know, he's kind of like the voice of the players. Usually it's a former player that comes back and works for an organization. But what it really boils down to is You're an adult. So I don't want the age factor. And the reason why I say that is because
yes.
Look at the remainder of Josh Gordon's draft. We'll say that year he was drafted. I know he was supplemental. But look at his draft class. How many of those guys are doing it right? How many of those guys are not in the drug program? And even if they are, say there's a dozen of them, are they having multiple offenses? Are they putting themselves in multiple situations? No, they're abiding by the guidelines with which are a part of the contract that you sign that pays
right.
you a significant... It not only says this is the amount of money that you're going to make, it's the rules that you must abide by as a professional football player when you put your name on that contract. And that's the one reason why I don't have a lot of self-pity for Josh Gordon and how old he is or where he came from, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of guys just like him in the National Football League doing it right in better cities, even though we all love Cleveland, in faster cities that make a hell of a lot more money than Josh Gordon does, and they're doing it right.
No question. There is a level of personal accountability that has to happen. We've got Terry in Strongsville with us here on CBD. What's up, Terry?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good. Shout out to the Brownstown Southeast chapter. Hey, a couple of things. I think that, number one, that the Browns got to accept some responsibility here, too. Now, you got rid of Ben Tate because you said he was bad for the locker room. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not you guys. So, you know, you want to change the culture. You know, don't do it halfway or we're going to change the culture to those that, you know, I mean, how are you choosing Josh Gordon over Ben Tate? It's a disruption to the locker room. You know, I sit here year after year after year watching bad football, and you're telling me this year you're going to change the culture. But yet you have Johnny doing what Johnny's doing. You have Gordon doing what he's doing. At this point with Gordon, I think I'm just saying, you know, did you do this because you want to be traded? Because I'm going to make him sit out a year. Okay, you're not going to go be, I'm not going to trade you. You're going to sit out year, and if I lose you, I lose you, but if I don't, I don't. And the same thing with Johnny, you know. You're saying that you're going to change the culture. Change the culture. Get rid of the bad eggs. We've had enough of them over the years. We've seen them all. And now you've ushered those guys out, but you're ushering in a whole new class of guys that have baggage that Browns fans are fed up with.
And I think that's people are very frustrated by the fact that the two first-round picks last year seem to have more baggage than I think the Browns thought they would have. And I know it's Johnny Manziel. Many people have said, how could you not expect him to have all that baggage? To me, with Gordon, it changed the culture. You're not cutting Johnny Manziel right now. You see, the guy's played 7 quarters in the NFL. Hopefully, this season was a wake-up call, and he'll come back as a different guy. If he doesn't, he's not going to be in the league long anyway. Josh Gordon's suspended. He's not allowed to be here, so it doesn't even really matter that much. You might as well hold on to him because there's no downside to keeping him at this juncture. Let's go to Hooper in Tremont. Hooper, welcome to CBD.
Hey, Mega Dagos to my friends in Cleveland. I'm down in Columbus now listening to this story, and it comes back to mind that we have a lot of athletes that didn't make this kind of money that are still hurting. And it would behoove the sports franchises to say, hey, listen, we need a bodyguard for this guy. He doesn't have his head straight on. We're going to pay you to shadow this guy, keep him out of trouble. And if that happens, then, you know, we'll take care of you the way they should have took care of these athletes in the past. Now, these are kids coming out of college, and God knows what they want to do, they can do now, because we're stupid enough to give them all this cash. It's like giving a kid a bunch of candy and waiting for them to get sick. So the philosophy is that every sports franchise in America should take someone and say, okay, we're going to shadow you until you got your head on straight. And then it's on two people now, because obviously we cannot place it on one person with all this money in their hand. It's just impossible. I know the majority can do it, but the superstars that are getting in trouble, like Z last year or 2 years ago when he got a DUI, you know, Z had a chauffeur drive him around. So this is what we're looking at now in the sports franchises, having body people for these kids that until they mature. What do you think?
What do you think about that? Problem child's being baby. I know that the Cowboys did that with Dez Bryant, and it actually ended up being very effective for him.
Yeah, and I think it's, first of all, what you have to understand, it's very humbling. It's very embarrassing for the player that has to be followed around. But I think that also, too, it's they cannot be trusted by themselves. And I think it is worth your while in the right situation to have someone like that, because they're overseeing every facet of their life and holding them accountable, and they personally are aware of the financial situations of a player. They're testing or the policies with which they're under so that they abide by that. But then also, too, is they can make recommendations from their experience as a player or their teammates that they played with that might have struggled, or they, you know what, I had a teammate of mine that came to a crossroads just like you, and this is what they did to right the ship, and just give some positive influence on this life. Because as we heard in Josh Gordon's letter, he talks about dark, you know, being in a dark corner, being in a dark place, or being down, you know, and that's the one thing. And he has put himself there. But so it's going to be very tough for one individual by himself to fight his way out, because his inner being is what's coming out in his decision making, and he can't do it by himself. So the support system, and I think some of the onus has been taken by the Cleveland Browns. You know, can they do more? Sure. But can it? But is it really absorbed by the player? That's what's very, very unsure. So that personal concierge in their life of positivity and to not feel like they're doing it all by themselves would be a positive step, I believe.
All right, let's go to Mark in Euclid. Mark, welcome to CBD.
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas.
You got it, man.
I got 2 points I want to hit on. First is Josh Gordon, and I want to commend him for coming out and protecting his character, because, you know, the national media will assassinate your character.
Absolutely.
And whether it was foolishness or ignorance, whichever the two it was, he was wrong. But I like the way he stood up and presented himself. Second, I want to talk about those Cavs. And with those Cavs, it's one thing I didn't notice halfway through the season that I didn't think I would say, and that's that Kevin Love is not a max player. You know, I hope we do not sign Kevin Love to a max contract, because a max player got to be able to create his own shot, play defense. And I don't know if he's hurt or not, but right now, Kevin Love is not a max player. What you guys think?
No, I think he's struggling, and we actually talked about that last night. There was the point when Kyrie came out and Kevin Love was clearly the superstar on the floor for the Cavs and couldn't generate anything offensively on his own and got nothing going. He's made just 6 of his last 26 shots here over the last 2 games. So, yeah, I think that he's struggling right now. I think he's a very solid player, but it's interesting. I thought many people thought he'd come in and he'd be the number 2 and Kyrie'd kind of be the 3, and I think it's turned out Kyrie is clearly the 2 and or 1A, and Kevin Love is the 3rd. He's definitely struggling. He doesn't look like a max player. His stats always seem to end up ultimately being a little bit better than you think they are when you watch the game, which
is
interesting.
That's true.
But he doesn't, you know, he's had in his last 5 games, he's had 2 games with 19 and 13. And you'd say, oh, well, that's good. 3 double-doubles in the last 5. But, you know, he's struggling right now offensively and looks a little bit lost right now.
He is. And the hard part is it comes – and that situation that Dallas has. You know, we saw DeMarco Murray live this morning on ESPN, on NFL Live. And it's DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant. They both deserve max money, you know, to be probably the highest paid at their position in the National Football League. But it's mathematically impossible for the Dallas Cowboys to do that. And it's not so much the case in the NBA because they abide by different rules, but I just think with LeBron potentially going to be on a max deal, you've got Kyrie on a max deal, and then Kevin Love, he's gonna feel, because of what he accomplished in Minnesota, you know, in coming here, he's a max player, but he's leveled off and he's a part of a team right now. And what we have to understand is, if I'm Kevin Love, do you sacrifice max money, or is it the ego associated with max money? Because, you know, $20 million a year or $16 million a year, when you're making that much for 5 years, is it really, okay, it's $20 million, I get it, but does it really matter when you could potentially be a part of a dynasty that Cleveland could be with him here for the next 5 to 7 years and win multiple rings? So, and I think Carmelo Anthony is someone guilty of that. Do you take do you take max money and get the respect that you feel like you deserve and play at home in New York? Or do you go and seek out a championship and take a little bit less?
Yep, and try to get that title. Certainly it will be something facing the Cavs and, of course, Kevin Love. Last caller, Shane in North Ridgeville. Welcome to the show.
Shane, good show today, fellas. Good show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
The way I look at it is there's a lot of facets wrong with the Browns. All right, we know that. And then I'll say this, all right. Gordon is the best wide receiver probably since we had Collins or Warfield here in Cleveland. That's most talented wise.
Yep.
And he is only 23 years old. And a lot of this, it is his fault. I agree, and I do know about how Jerry Jones hired a babysitter for Dez Bryant, and it helped him out. I get that. But the guy's losing millions and millions of dollars here, $6 million, $7 million. I belong to a labor union. We're not allowed to do drugs. We have drug tests, random drug tests. It is not, and I used to smoke pot. If I get caught, I could lose my pension, my annuity, everything, my job, my $25 job, the whole ordeal for token up.
So what do you do?
So basically now with the Browns, this is why I agree with what you guys are saying, but it's kind of an oxymoron thing. Since we don't have to pay him, he doesn't take up a roster spot, he is 23 years old, and basically you get him back after he comes back for that 1 year, you're going to have to keep him. You're going to have to keep him. Because right now with this suspension, nobody's going to give you anything. If I was a GM, I wouldn't give you a top five pick for him, four or five round pick for him.
No way.
No way. If Haslam is serious about this, like Jerry Jones, now let's talk about the facets of the Browns, the ownership in the Browns. Jerry Jones, a very flamboyant owner, sticks his nose into everything, and yeah, they haven't won Super Bowls, but now he's got his star ace wide receiver. He's going to do whatever he has to do to make sure that young man shows up to practice, stays off the dope, and scores him touchdowns. Jimmy Haslam is not doing that. And it's obvious that even when I get caught in my job, and the other caller just said, they'll send us to a rehab if we fail a drug test before we lose our job. And they should have known, and being a professional in that aspect, that's an owner of any company. His employees, he should know, man, this guy's going to have some trouble there on his own. He cannot do it himself. He cannot do it. And if he just failed one drug test, that's one. But six times? Come on. Now you're costing yourself $7 million, $8 million? Now, like I said, you feel sorry for the kid. And being a Browns fan, yeah, man, you see the talent in this young man. And you see his age. But sooner or later, and this was the fastest with the Browns, with Johnny Manziel's ego and attitude and Gordon's attitude, that's not good. And it's about, your caller said, changing the culture. Are you really changing the culture of the Cleveland Browns? No, you're not. Because obviously, Manziel's still out partying, man. He took that $6 million signing bonus and his money signing all over the place, but the guy can't throw a touchdown pass. What good in the National Football League is that going to do you? Yeah, you got this Lamborghini sitting in your driveway over there in Berea catching these 80-yard passes running 40 yards, but the guy don't have an engine in the motor, or a motor in the car.
Sure.
He's got to sit in. So how is that changing the culture of what these Browns are going to be? And Haslam has to make a point. And so it's a very catch-22, man, because being a Browns fan that I am, you see the talent of this young guy, and you're like, geez, oh, Pete. A guy like this only comes around like Randy Moss or like him. And you got the next Randy Moss here. But the kid won't say, and even Chris Carter, who tutelized him, he should have brought in a veteran wide receiver better than Miles Austin to say, hey, man, you need to do this, man. You have a lot of talent. You could be a Hall of Famer, kid. You just got to keep the booze out of your mouth. Keep the dope out of your lungs. And you'll be a Hall. Your face will be enshrined 30 miles down the road in Canton one day.
No question. And that's what he's got to do.
And that's one of the facets of the Browns, the leadership. And we saw some of it with the line. It's not Joe Thomas is not the leader of that offensive line. It's Alex Mack. Look how that team fell apart when Alex Mack. Now, you're telling me a professional, there's not another backup center that knows how to call the calls at an NFL football team? As a leadership. And the defense, they went and got that leadership. You already heard about Whitner taking Gilbert to the side. You already heard about Carlos Dansby pulling him over to the side. And say, man, you're a professional, man.
You got to get together.
You got to get the offensive side of the ball, and then you got Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer's not it. He's not. And I'm sorry. I know he's a hometown kid. I'm from Cleveland too. CNS.com Philly. They said that it would take a second round pick and another conditional second round pick because Kelly's trying to get picks to draft Mariota. So why won't the Browns finally solve this quarterback problem? And if all it's going to take me is two second-round picks to get Foles, I'll throw him Johnny Manziel to boot. He runs a spread offense. Johnny Manziel's in that spread offense. He's only owed $1.6 million. Go get yourself a real quarterback.
Well, I think that Foles is somebody certainly could, and thank you so much for all the comments.
Tell us how you really feel, will you?
But I do think that, you know, a guy like Nick Foles is certainly a possibility in the trade market if Philadelphia is serious about going after Mariota and it puts him out there. I think that'd be somebody that the Browns could look at to try and get a quarterback here to, alongside Johnny Manziel to compete with him going forward. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up here. A very good addition. Thank you guys for all the calls. Good because of all your calls today on this Josh Gordon letter. Lots of interesting stuff. We'll have the kid in tomorrow, and we'll get into Kyrie's 55 and the kid's equally bad performance on the opposite side of the spectrum, leaving the game early with 3 minutes on the clock. Yes, you heard that right, folks. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow. But when we come back, we're going to play a little fact or fiction and wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Can't let you slip out that door. Prettiest thing I ever seen.